On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap this past weekend in South Carolina athletics, give my quick reactions for South Carolina's bowl game selection, and also go over some points from the college football playoff. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 25 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And just right off the bat, how about that? Episode 25. We are rolling, quarter of the century mark. Oh, it's been a blast. And I hope everyone had a lovely, lovely weekend. Hopefully you're listening to this on a Monday or a Tuesday and you had a nice weekend. I had some friends in town, friends from college, and we all gathered and at the Mason Jar, which is the South Carolina bar here in Manhattan. And it's just really cool that South Carolina has brought all of us so many memories, and we all have something in common, especially when it comes to rooting in our Gamecocks. So just a quick shout out to the school, quick shout out to my boys. It was great seeing everybody. But today, on Sunday, I mean, what a heck of a day. We had NFL action, obviously. Then we had men's basketball at the same time. And then also we had the selection of the South Carolina Gamecocks bowl game, which we're going to get to in a minute, but it is the Duke's Mayo Bowl. So just a poppin' Sunday. And then on top of it, I had to do Christmas shopping and all this jazz. Like, very, very active, more active than you'll normally find me on a Saturday. Normally I am couched recovering from South Carolina football, but with that temporarily not going on right now, hey, it was a pretty nice Sunday for me. But all right, so what we're going to do is we're going to dive into this weekend in review. I'm going to preview and give my gut reaction for the South Carolina's bowl game. Not going to do a full deep dive. I'm going to save that for closer to the game. And then depending on how much time we have left, I'm going to talk about my thoughts, feelings, emotions, all that jazz with the college football playoff now that the top four is set. So let's just jump right into things here. So this weekend, a couple updates here. The women's volleyball team, if you'll remember, they made it to the NCAA tournament. Unfortunately, they took an L 0-3 to Western Kentucky. But hey, my opinion, anytime you can get to a postseason, whatever the sport is, whatever have you, that's an accomplishment. So great job to our volleyball team. It was a good season. We'll get them again. And just, you know, hats off to y'all. And then women's basketball here, they beat Kansas State. This game was on Friday. They beat them 65-44, called it. I mean, what did I say? I said Kansas State was what? 7-1, some like nice record, but not ranked. I think you could see why. South Carolina, we gave up 5 points in the second quarter. Just 5 points in the entire second quarter. And the crazy part is, this is not the first time we've seen that. Wasn't it against UConn? We gave up 3 points in the third quarter or something like that. This defense and Dawn Staley's system, when they can impose their will and they control the clock offensively, it's hard to stop. It is really, really hard to stop. It's awesome to see. A couple highlights here for y'all. Aaliyah Boston, just always leading the way. She is GOAT status, goated. 21 points, 17 rebounds. 17 rebounds. I'm shipping up to Boston. That is insane. And then Camila Cardoza, 11 points and 10 rebounds. How about that double-double? We honestly need like a nickname for these two. Boston and Cardoza, I feel like whenever I'm giving updates about the women's squad, we're talking about how many rebounds they have. We need like a nickname for these two, like the rebounding machines or the rebounding sisters or something like that. We got to come up with something clever. So let's brainstorm that. We need to get like a think tank going. And yeah, let's get that done. But a real cool story out of this was Letitia Amahir. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing the name here, but 11 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. But the thing was, she was running the point for a lot of that game. And she is not your typical point guard build. She almost could be like a three or a four. And the way that she had the ball skills and distributing and was able to facilitate, people were saying it looked like Magic Johnson out there. So it was really cool to see just the depth and the creativity that Dawn Staley was flexing in this game here. Now, the women's next game is on Sunday the 12th. I believe this week, I think a lot of the Athletics are taking a pause for finals. So good luck with finals. If you're listening, if you're taking the finals, more power to you. Those were tough. Late nights in T-Coop. But their next game is Sunday the 12th, big-time matchup versus Maryland. Maryland has a very good squad themselves. I've seen some projections that we might see them in the Final Four. So always interesting when you can have a big-time early matchup like that where you could see them at the end of the year. We'll see how we do, but you're not going to find me ever down Dawn Staley and the Gamecocks. So let's go, girls. Good luck on finals. Now, moving over to the men's side of things here. Just before I recorded this show, they beat Georgetown 80-67. Talk about a great bounce back win. I mean, obviously, we're coming off a bad, bad loss to Coastal Carolina. We were all sort of scratching our heads saying, how did that happen? Like, what's going on with this team? But hey, you went back home against Georgetown. I mean, Georgetown's a formidable program. Obviously, they have big-time talent. They're a younger team, to my understanding, so they're still gelling. But you could see that they have some talent, obviously very well coached with Patrick freaking Ewing, but great bounce-back win. And Carolina, we jumped out to a big lead early on. And once Georgetown, once they settled in, they got a little bit of a rhythm. They started to hit some of their shots. The game did get close at times, one or two possessions even. But in the final, I'd say maybe the final 7 minutes or so, Carolina, they were really able to lock down defensively and start to pull away. All of a sudden, it was six-ish here and there, but then in a blink of an eye, the lead was up to 12, and it felt like they never really turned back right around that seven-minute mark, which is exactly what you want to do. If it's a close game, late in the game, you lock down, you impose your will. And overall, I felt the team looked pretty good. I mean, they looked pretty balanced to me. I feel like they did a good job of moving the ball around and really taking advantage of second chances. Our big men had a field day. Bryant, Gray, Levesque all had very, very strong games. And Jermaine Cousinard, he was back. If you remember, he was out against Coastal Carolina, which some people attributed that loss to. You know where I stand. You know, one person cannot have that huge of an effect. But he was back. And especially in that first half, I felt you could see truly just how important he is to this team. He's a veteran leader. You could see that he understands where to put the ball, where to be, where to stand. He might not have had the best stat line, but his ability to distribute, and you could tell he's a true floor general. So it was great to see him back. And hopefully the kid can stay healthy. But some highlights here for y'all. Wildens Levesque, 14 points and 4 rebounds. And if you have not seen this kid's alley-oop one-handed slam, pause the episode, go look it up, because oh my Lanta, that was a slam. That was like one of those deals, like I was watching the game, I had my phone up, you know, I was just kind of scrolling, and I looked up, and it was just like, oh my Lord, oh my goodness gracious, it was a man's dunk. Whew. And Keyshawn Bryant, speaking of man's dunk, he had two or three monster jams. I mean, this kid, we knew he had bounce, right? We knew he had bounce, and he was full on display. He had 11 points and 8 rebounds. And then Jacoby Wright, he had a very balanced game, 8 points, 6 rebounds. So great game for the squad. Great bounce back win. That's exactly what you wanted to see. And Colonial Life, look, it might not have been super packed, but that crowd, you could tell they were into it. Absolutely. Now, their next game is also Sunday the 12th versus Florida State. So good luck on your finals, boys. Florida State, that should be a pretty good game as well. So let's get right. Let's do good. Let's go, Cox. So moving on from this weekend, that was the major updates. And obviously, there is a bit of a gap for finals. But the other big news that came out this weekend is our bowl game was announced. It was the biggest buildup I feel like I've been tracking. Who are we projected to play? When are we going to get announced? And it's just, we're so appreciative to finally be back in postseason football. So if you've been living under a rock or you didn't hear the first 20 seconds of this show. The Gamecocks will be playing in the Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte December 30th against UNC. So I know there's all this narrative about, you know, we haven't done all that well in Charlotte and, you know, we're playing UNC again and it brings up all these interesting memories, we'll say. But hey, I mean, you're able to play in your backyard and you're able to play in a place where there's a lot of Gamecocks in Charlotte and you're able to play against the state that borders you. It's a border war, North Carolina. So I think it's a fun matchup any way you slice it. It's a bowl game, so it's always good times. It's Duke's Mayo. I mean, I'll defend mayo as a great sandwich condiment to the death. I actually prefer Duke's to any other kind, but it's kind of funny. It's the Mayo Bowl, so I'm sure there'll be some funny promotions and some funny swag that they all get. But the game is at 11:30 a.m. kickoff, so what? But hey, that's a perfect time to have a lunch beer, right? Maybe block off your calendar a little bit. And some people take off that week between Christmas and New Year. So if you are lucky enough to not be working, this is a perfect Thursday afternoon for you. Get to watch the Gamecocks. And also, per my bet with myself that I made a couple of episodes ago, I said wherever we play, I'm going to get a hat, a shirt. I'm just trying to get decked out in whatever city we were playing in. So if you're in Charlotte, if you're in the greater Charlotte area, shoot your boy a DM. I would love to get just the corniest, touristy shirt and hat, just the most generic Charlotte stuff you could have, because we are happy to be in postseason. And then, of course, if we do end up on the right side of this game, I'm just going to dive in to this Duke's Mayo Bowl swag. Give me the hats, give me the shirts, if they're socks, whatever it is. Let's make it happen. And like I said, I'm going to do a little bit more of an in-depth preview closer to the game, closer to what I have done with the regular season matchups, Crows to the games, all that jazz. But real quick, I mean, this is a great thing for South Carolina for multiple reasons. One, any coach will tell you that if you get to a bowl game, I believe it's 15 or so practices you get that you're allowed to have, and that is critical for development of the younger players. Beamer had passed a comment earlier today where he said that he expects a lot of the senior class to come back because they do have that extra year of eligibility. But these practices are critical because any chance you can have to develop these younger players, it is super important for the future of the football team. And that's just what you want. That's how you get better. You take advantage of any time you can to practice and get better as a team. And again, this matchup, it kind of says a lot about the states of these programs, right? UNC, they had a skyrocket season or two under Mac Brown when he first got there. They had high hopes this year going into it. Kind of did not live up to them, right? They were thinking about maybe being in the ACC championship game, maybe being in a New Year's Six, and it just didn't pan out that way. So they're looking to resurrect their season and end on a high note. South Carolina had a pleasant surprise of a season where we're playing in a bowl game and we're trying to show that we are in fact better than this 6-6, and we are on a projection that is going high. I don't know if I even said that right, but the trajectory of the program, there we go, is going in the right direction. And also from a recruiting standpoint, I mean, North Carolina has seriously improved their recruiting these past few seasons under Mac Brown, and obviously there is a lot of talent in the greater Charlotte area, but when you look historically where South Carolina has gotten a lot of their players in recent years, it's North Carolina. So if there's a recruit in the Carolinas who's being recruited by both of these programs, this is the type of game that might influence the decision a little bit, right? Everyone says the kids don't really care about wins and losses. They want development. They want tape, which is all true. But if you're telling me that there's a kid who's deciding between North Carolina and South Carolina, and you see one that has been trending upwards, they have a new coach, new energy, and they win the ball game against a team that didn't have a great year, is losing their starting quarterback, who is a coach, frankly, you know, sorry, Mac, you're on the older side of life. So, you know, I think that it can say a lot. And it will be interesting to see if Sam Howell plays this game. I mean, he is a top quarterback prospect. Maybe he decides to opt out of this game and prepare for the draft. And I mean, A, that would be nice because he is a very, very good player. So from an advantage standpoint, I would hope that that means advantage Carolina. But at the same time, backup quarterbacks make South Carolina fans, including myself, very nervous because the track record is just not great. But a fun tidbit, actually kind of a bizarre tidbit, is that if this is in fact Sam Howell's last game, he will have started and ended his career against the Gamecocks in Charlotte. So very interesting, you know, sort of fate, but I kind of touched on it a little bit, and people remember how we have played in Bank of America Stadium in bowl games or against opponents like NC State or UNC, and there are some interesting memories there. So honestly, the past few times have not been great. So a lot of people were like, oh no, I can't believe we're going back to Charlotte. Let me put everyone's worries at ease now. Will Muschamp is not our football coach anymore, y'all. We have an adult with a brain coaching this team. And he has been part of some serious bowl games, playoff games. He knows how to get teams ready and prepared for these type of games where you have the big layoff and they have tape and they know how to adjust and the defense has a pulse. So it's a new era. It's a new page. I would not fret too much, but it's going to be great to see this team once again take the field. And I'm excited. So I'm going to do a big bowl game preview for that game. I might even do a separate episode where we're going to preview a bunch of bowl games and just rip through them. So we'll see how that goes. But regardless, our Gamecocks, we got one more game. It's at the end of December. It's sort of a great way to end this year. If we could end the year and close out the football season with a W, potentially 7 wins, that'd be a great feeling. We'd have great momentum heading into the offseason to finish off recruiting and start getting ready for next season, which I'm all ready for. I am ready as I've ever been for a new season. I'm excited. Of course, we have basketball and baseball and everything else to track, and it's great that we can follow all of that. But I'm very excited to see this team take the field again. And now with that being said, there are some other major, major games that were set because of championship game weekend and how everything turned out. So the college football playoff field is set. The Final Four is set. Going through this in order, starting at number one, Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, and Cincinnati. Now the big story has to be the SEC championship game. Alabama manhandling, like really taking care of business, stuck it to Georgia, something that a lot of people, including myself, did not see coming. I mean, I think we all might have thought this was going to be competitive, but it seemed like Georgia was invincible. And my, oh my, I don't know what it is, but Nick Saban once again is proving that his assistants are struggling against him. And he has proven once again that he is a master coach, and I don't want to say exposed, but exposed Georgia. I mean, they put up 30-something points on this team, which hadn't given up more than, 13? And their starters had to give up more than 6? So whatever Nick Saban did and whatever they game planned, that's how you beat Georgia. And because it was not a close game, makes you think that maybe Georgia isn't as great as we thought they were, or at least if they play these elite teams, that they are vulnerable. And I think their offense was more exposed than anything. I mean, oddly enough, because they couldn't get anything going. It started off pretty good, but then ended up not so much. So going to be very interesting to see. And then I like that we have two new teams in the playoff. We have Michigan and Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati, they are the people's team. In my opinion, they are the people's champion. They have finally broken through. They are a group of five team in the Final Four. It sucks they have to play Alabama. They're probably going to get waxed. But hey, if they make it even somewhat competitive, it shows that the committee should take these teams a little more serious. And Michigan, they whooped Iowa. They're coming off, talk about a way to end a season. This stretch they have been on, my goodness, with the exclamation points, plural, of beating Ohio State and then Iowa, they are as legit as anyone in this field. Michigan-Georgia is going to be an absolute electric semifinal. And if Michigan gets to the final, I mean, they have good chances as anybody. I mean, all four of these teams are really, really good. But I'm excited that we have some diversity. We have some new faces. There's a lot of red and black and white, but at least we have blue and yellow. You know, so we have some new colors, I guess, which is fun. But yeah, so it's going to be really fun to see. And it's going to be really exciting to watch this build up for the playoff for all these bowl games. And I love all the random bowl games that we'll have on like a random Tuesday afternoon, like the Music City Bowl, the First Responders Bowl, the Duck Commander Bowl, if that's even a thing. But it's exciting time, and I am really excited for our Gamecocks most especially. But with that, that wraps up this episode. Pretty light work today. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And if you are able to subscribe and to leave a review and 5 stars, all that jazz to the pod, please do. I really appreciate it. But let's keep the faith. Let's watch our Gamecocks. Let's root them in. Peace out.